Kabul slammed the door closed and barred it. Chuckling to himself, he moved an old carpet from a corner of the room and spread it over the hole in the floor. Standing on the far side of it, he went into a crouch, claws stretching forward. Soon he heard his pursuers arriving. There was a rending crash, and the door swung lopsidedly on a single hinge. Rawnblade thrust it aside as he stepped into the room, brandishing his sword. He glanced about at the bare walls.
The running's over, rat! There's nowhere for you to go!
Aye, so tis,
Kabul sneered.
You're well backed up by your friends, and fully armed too. I thought badgers were true warriors. Why don't you throw down that great door cleaver and meet me in Porterclaw combat, sea rat fashion? Or are you just a great cowardly striped dog?
The red mists of blood wrath clouded Lord Rawnblade's eyes as he flung his sword aside and came at Kabul with a mighty roar. For an instant, Kabul's blood froze within him at the sight of the huge badger charging forward. Then Rawnblade stood on the carpet. He plunged down into the hole with a sharp bark of alarm, falling flat on his back at the bottom of the pit. There was a scuttling noise, and Rawnblade shouted aloud,
"Stay away!"
Marielle and her companions hesitated in the doorway. The massive black scorpion rattled out at breathtaking speed. It was on Rawnblade before he could move. His eyes went wide with horror at the sight of the loathsome beast perched on his breastplate. Clicking claws held menacingly wide, it began to bring the venomous barbed sting on its tail up over its back to strike at the badger's unprotected face. Suddenly, some unseen force galvanised Rawnblade into instant action. His paw shot up, grabbing the scorpion by the curve of its tail, and with a mighty bellow, he jumped upright. Whirling the evil creature around, he flung it swiftly from the pit. The black scorpion shot up at an angle, striking the ceiling and dropping down, straight into the face of Kabul the Wild. From the doorway, they watched in horrified fascination as the sea rat leaped frenziedly about the room. Feebly struggling with the angry creature locked onto his throat with both claws, it covered his face, muffling the gurgled screams as the lethal tail sent its hook sting, slamming over the top of his head into the base of the skull, whipping back and forth as it stabbed in a maddened frenzy. Rawnblade heaved himself out of the pit in time to see Kabul fall to the floor, his limbs twitching spasmodically as poison flooded through his crazed brain. The king of the sea rats shuddered one last time and died, his body arched back like a straining bow. Dandin rushed into the room as the scorpion turned its attention to Lord Rawnblade. The young mouse swung the sword of Martin the Warrior once, twice, thrice. The two halves of the terrible creature toppled awkwardly back into its pit, still clicking and striking with its poisonous tail sting. Rawnblade shuddered. He rubbed his paws together vigorously, as if trying to cleanse himself of the scorpion's touch. Tarquin addressed his Herolina consolingly.
"Well, Mjöl Twanga, you never got to brain Kabul after all. Matter of fact, none of us did. What a shameful waste of such jolly good weapons."
Joseph put a paw around his daughter's shoulders.
"Evil destroyed evil, and good triumphed. Come on, Marielle. Let us leave Terramort. The nightmare is over."
Marielle hugged her father fondly.
"Let's go to Redwall."
Four ships lay ready to sail from the cove at Terramort. Captain Duddy Quill stood at the helm of Waveblade, renamed Gabriel after his favourite nuncle. Captain Tarquin Elwood Sorrel now commanded the Hon Rosie, formerly the Black Sail. Captain Dandin rested his paw on the tiller of Nightwake, renamed the Abbot Bernard. The Crabclaw had been restored to her former name, Periwinkle, at the wish of her new captain, Joseph the Bellmaker. He stood proudly with Marielle and Rawnblade on a swaying deck, watching the crew of former oar slaves tying down the final lashings of the great bell. Above them, a huge hole gaped in the seaward side of Fort Bladegate, where the bell had been lowered to the Periwinkle's deck. dark smoke curled from the breach in the fort as Rawnblade nodded his head in satisfaction.
I've never used fire on anything in my life, but I was glad to put the torch to that evil building. It will never burn away its memory, but maybe someday, in the seasons to come, the wind and rains from the seas will scour its blackened stones clean.
Joseph passed the deck rail.
Good old Periwinkle. Remember when we first set sail in her, Mariel? Now we can complete that voyage and deliver Lord Rawnblade's bell to Salamandastron, where it belongs.
But the Badger Lord had other ideas.
No, friend Joseph. This bell must go to Redwall Abbey, and I will tell you the reason why. When I was down that pit with the scorpion on me, I was in the grip of Bloodwrath and did not know what was going on. The creature would have killed me. However, I was saved by Martin the Warrior. It was his spirit that entered me and enabled me to act so quickly. He saved my life, so I must repay him.
Dandin touched the hilt of the sword.
Good old Martin. So it was he who really slew Gabool. Or was it him through you, sir? Or was it just a bad-tempered scorpion? We'll never know. What do you say, Marielle?
I say, here, take this little swallow and hang it where my father can see it. Give me your sword. You won't need it for a moment.
Armed with the sword of Martin the Warrior, the mousemaid stood high on the bowsprit and shouted her orders to the little fleet.
Hoist anchors and set all sails! There's a running tide and fair wind to take us to the shores of Mossflower Country and Redwall.
The great bell gave out a mighty boom as Rawnblade struck it. The sound echoed around the headlands, mingled with the joyful cheers from hundreds of free creatures as the breeze filled the sails and carried the four vessels out onto the seas in golden summer sunlight.